We're going to come to order. We don't have a quorum yet, but we're going to start with the second bill on the agenda. These are really loud. Does this seem like it's loud to the audience? Or is it just loud to me?
Okay.
Okay. Just seems hot. Anyway, so to the bills we're doing today, unless there's an amendment, we're not taking testimony to the base of the bill. We're talking about the money. Every bill that's here today has had thorough discussion in other committees on the policy level. And we have too much work to do today to discuss in detail anything beyond that. So if members can just, only half of us are here, but if people can remember that as we do our discussions, we'll be out of here in plenty of time to get to our caucuses, which will occur at noon. We have a quorum. Okay. So Representative Holberg, I can't move your bill yet. I will when the time comes. And then, do you want to do whatever testimony you have? And the most of the discussion here is about the fiscal note. That's the only reason you're here. There's no content of the policy that this committee has an official interest in. So if you can keep your comments to that, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, once you have a quorum, I'd like to move the DE-3 amendment. And so I will just speak to that issue. I'm not sure if the members have the original fiscal note on the bill in their packets, but a major portion of the fiscal note on the bill is introduced, involved nearly $300,000 in costs for rulemaking, as we heard testimony in this on this bill in other committees and had some discussion with interested parties. It became clear that we could probably piggyback on current standards for outpatient surgical centers.
Representative Holberg, excuse me. We have a quorum. I'll call the committee to order. I'll move House File 2340. Be recommended to pass. Be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. I'll move the DE-3 amendment. And you're describing that. So then we'll vote on that after you describe it.
Right. And so that should take a major portion of the cost of the bills introduced away with hopefully avoiding the need to have major rulemaking. If the members of the committee will notice on page 2 of the DE-3 amendment, on line 3, there's an open line for a license fee for a facility, and I would defer to the will of the committee. They could certainly plug a number into the DE-3 amendment, and I'm fine with that. Otherwise, what we'll do is wait for an official fiscal note that'll delineate the remaining costs associated with the bill, and then in Ways and Means, select an appropriate license fee and take care of any costs that are not covered by that fee.
Representative Holberg, have you talked to the chair of the Ways and Means Committee about that, and is she comfortable with this?
Well, Representative Abler, I don't know that I want to admit to talking to myself, so I'm going to pass on that question.
Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, under the law, a fee is a tax. And if there's a fee involved, I would think that it would have to go to the tax committee as well. And even though I know Representative Holberg probably can talk to herself as well as any of us, she isn't talking to herself if she's talking to the tax chair. So I would, I guess the question I would ask of you then is whether you would intend to send this to the tax committee.
And Representative Liebling, it can go in either order, and I think that the motion is for Ways and Means, which is appropriate. I think the rule is that the tax chair and the Ways and Means chair have to have a discussion about that, and then they do what they decide, and that's a discussion beyond this committee. You're free to weigh into that dialogue on the floor or on those other committees. So that's. I think the question before us now is, shall we fill in the blank on a fee or let them decide what fee makes sense as it goes to Ways and Means? I'm comfortable with it being blank. So it's the appropriate number, and I know Representative Holberg is not going to send an imbalance bill out of her committee to either to the floor or to taxes.
And Mr. Chair, depending on the fiscal note, we may or may not have to have a fee. We just don't know what remaining costs would be associated with this bill as it would be amended by the DE-3 amendment.
Because you're abiding by surgical center rules.
Right.
Freestanding. Representative Huntley, did you have a question?
So, Mr. Chair.
Right now.
Okay. My best guess, if you look at the original fiscal note and you take away the almost $287,000 associated with rulemaking, you can see that the remaining costs would be under $100,000.
Okay. Any questions about that to this point about the fee? I think unless there's any objection, I'd like to leave the fee blank because it might be zero, and then we're otherwise we're committing to a fee, which only complicates the matter. Any questions to DE3 before we move to adopt that? All in favor of the DE3, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
That's adopted. To the bill. Representative Huntley? Yes.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, this does not relate to the finances of this bill, but and I'm a male, so I don't know quite how invasive an abortion procedure would be, but I can tell you that I've had several colonoscopies, including one a few years ago where they removed polyps as well. It's all done in a clinic. And if you want an invasive procedure, colonoscopy rates right at the top as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just trying to avoid the graphic in my head.
I don't know why we're treating this particular procedure different than other invasive procedures.
Okay, I'll take that as a comment. Anybody else? Representative Liebling.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, we're not going to have the whole discussion again that we had in the policy committee on this, but, I think that also if we're considering the money here, we might want to consider the money it's going to cost the state to defend this against lawsuits if it would pass and be signed into law, which I think it's unlikely that it would be signed into law, but because you're singling out abortion clinics, I think you'd be looking at lawsuits. And again, I've said this many times here and on the floor that it's a good jobs bill for attorneys.
Out of our laser-like focus. just to point out that we did license freestanding surgical centers on our own, and we did not license clinics that do polyp removal. So maybe there's the attorneys can argue, and I'm happy they provide work wherever we can provide it. Any other discussion? Representative Holberg, your final thought?
Okay.
Seeing none, I renew my motion that House File 20, I can't read without my glasses, 2340, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, while they'll sort out the amount of the fee. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The bill is re-referred. Thank you, Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
The next bill up is just a re-referral. I'll move House File 1191 to be re-referred. I have an amendment. Do I? I don't intend to. Should I do that? We can do it. Okay. Let's take a minute. Let's do it from here. This is this bill passed today in the Ways and Means Committee. The amendment would conform it to the Senate language. This is the social worker licensure bill. It's without controversy, I believe. The amendment passed without controversy in Ways and Means. This conforms it to the Senate. My intention was to take it from the Health Committee to here to the floor. It needed two steps, then one, because moving bills right to the floor is problematic. And so I'll move the A1 amendment, which conforms it. This puts it in the shape that this was very controversial a year ago. Mr. Ingram is nodding this is a good amendment from the Social Workers Association. Representative Liebling.
Well, Mr. Chair, I appreciate that you just want to get it in the shape the Senate has it, but I guess I'd appreciate a little more explanation of what shape is that the Senate has it in and, you know, what we're actually doing here.
I wasn't intending to spend time on it. I wasn't knowing that we were going to even amend, but I'm willing to send it the way it was, and then if we do take it up, amend it to conform to the Senate and have the full discussion there. We may not even need it, so and I hate to spend the time. Ms. Davis, just want to comment about it? Maybe that'll make Representative Liebling comfortable, and if not, we'll see what else.
Mr. Chair and Representatives, the A1 amendment is purely a technical amendment that helps the bill conform with the Senate language that was changed at the request of the reviser so that they can publish the statutes the way things were worded. It created a problem for the reviser system, so this is purely technical language to help the reviser be able to publish and give notice.
Fair question. And I'm sorry, we've been so preoccupied, I didn't notice we're having an amendment on this, so I didn't mean to catch you all by surprise. So, anyway, any questions about the A1? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails, amendment's adopted. I'll renew my motion that House Bill 1191 is amended, be recommended to pass, and be sent to the General Register. Everybody understand that? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you, members, for that. We now have the Kiffmeyer bill. Oh, no, excuse me, the Nurse Compact bill. And Representative Norton is here. This is shown up. I'll move. You want me to move it for you, Representative Norton?
Would you please?
I'll move House Bill 462 be recommended to pass. We refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is that right? Or is it to the floor? Ways and Means. Okay. This bill is controversial to many, including me. It's in the Senate version of the bill. It was passed out of the conference last year and vetoed by the governor for that reason, amongst others. It's not my intention to do a lot of debate today. My view is the people who like it should be happy it's moving. The people who don't like it should be happy it's moving so it can take it out of the conference committee and let it be a standalone bill. So I would like only very short testimony because it's our intention to just move it out and let it go on its way. So I see there's some testifiers, and if they could be just very brief, and we don't want to, this has been discussed already thoroughly in the Reform Committee on the policy, but just out of respect for those who have come, if you could do a minute or so. And so, Representative Norton, I'll let you have an opening comment if you like.
Thank you, Chair Abler. I would like to just speak for a couple minutes, give a brief overview, and then we'll move on.
A minute, please.
Well,
okay.
Maybe two and a half.
Two.
In 2011, this particular bill was heard extensively in the Health and Human Service Policy Committee in the House. It also, and it gained bipartisan support there, I'm pleased to say. It did go to GovOps, where it received a more partisan vote, and now we're back here, hopefully, to have a standalone bill. I know that's certainly what many of the people here would like. There's much to say about this bill. I'm going to be brief. It is important to Mayo Clinic, the largest employer in the state of Minnesota, which is housed in Rochester, but it's not just important to Mayo Clinic. You'll see, and hopefully you've got information in your packet, it has a very, very, very long list and growing list of supporters. The Nurse Licensing Compact is a legal agreement between two or more states that recognizes a nurse's licensure and good standing in all the states that participate in the compact. It's a mutual recognition model, similar to perhaps a driver's license, where you have to meet a particular standard. In this case, you pass the NCLEX exam in every state in the country. You graduate from an accredited school to get your license. And then, like a driver's license, those other states in the compact will recognize it. But you still must follow the laws in each and every state that you practice in. The compact will modernize healthcare. Minnesota is a leader in this area, certainly Mayo Clinic and many of the other great facilities that we have here. Telemedicine is a growing practice. We, in 2008, passed the Healthcare Reform Act, and in there was quite a bit about medical home and healthcare homes, and in fact, this particular piece of legislation beautifully supports that concept of having nurses follow up with patients. In many instances, those patients may come for treatment here in the great state of Minnesota, where we're known for our healthcare, but they may go back to their own homes in another state. It also will help us address a border state agreement that we have right now. Other states in our surrounding area, our nurses in those other states can come into the state of Minnesota on their own state's license. In Minnesota, our nurses are not given that same privilege. They cannot practice in those other states without buying additional licenses. So we're hoping to be able to take care of that and give our nurses in the state the same opportunities. Patient safety is increased because the compact requires communication as part of the rules and laws between these states. Each state is responsible to call another state where a nurse might move if there's any risk of harm. The nurses' database is used by all the states, and you can look into it to see if there are any violations. And in fact, the compact nurses are actually flagged with a little red flag. And I see that as a positive rather than a negative, and other states and employers that are employing those nurses will know immediately in real time if there's a problem and what the status is. And in fact, under the compact, each state is required, even if the nurse moves out of the state, to continue with their investigation and post the results online. So there's much more that we could talk about, but what I think I'd like to do is just quickly let the testifiers do their thing, and then if there is Q&A, I feel confident we can answer any questions.
Okay, and members, you heard my intention, and even as an opponent, I'm going to move to vote this out. So I think you have the votes to move it out, so remember that, and so don't talk people out of moving it out as you offer your points. So if, and with all respect, welcome to committee, and you know what the schedule we're under, so thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Judy Santiago. I am a registered nurse in Minnesota with multiple licensures in Wisconsin, South Dakota, Iowa. I've been practicing in this state for 14 years, mostly as a case manager. I'm a member of the Minnesota Organization of Leaders in Nursing and am the Government Affairs Chair. I'm here today to just indicate that Minnesota Organization of Leaders in Nursing supports this piece of legislation as it supports the mission to promote educational opportunities that result in standards of excellence in patient safety, patient care, and the advancement of the nursing profession. MOLN supports the Nurse Licensure Compact for patient safety reasons because of what, as Representative Norton had indicated, that it allows sharing of information. Patient care and access, our mobile patient population needs to be met by mobile nurses. We are able to take care of our patients as they cross state lines. And for nurse practice, Minnesota maintains their sovereign ability to regulate nursing in this state and the quality and standard of care that we currently have. And it does not change through the Nurse Licensure Compact. Language for this is found in Article 2, Section C, Line 3.20, that outlines the whole maintaining of Minnesota's state sovereignty. The federal government has been using this licensure model for decades for their armed forces, one license, multiple places for a nurse to travel to meet the needs. It does not necessarily indicate an influx of nurses, as currently, as of yesterday at noon, there are less than 300 nurses who currently practice here from the border state registry, which Representative Norton outlined already. Nurses can come across the state lines without these safeguards already. We feel that the Nurse Licensure Compact is good for nurses, it's good for patients, and it's good for business in Minnesota. Thank you very much. And for financial questions, I would defer to Shirley Brecken from the Minnesota Board of Nursing. Thank you very
much. Thank you. Ms. Erickson, if you can do a minute on why you like it.
A minute? It's my first day back.
You can talk in the hall for the rest of it. Thanks. We just, members, we have two very complex bills coming that are each of which could handle an hour each, and we don't have any of that kind of time. So it's the last meeting of the last day, so we're trying to help the proponents move this along.
I do have a letter for everybody. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Tara Erickson, and I'm testifying in support of the Nursing Licensure Compact. I represent the Minnesota Licensed Practical Nurses Association and the Minnesota LPN Alliance. The Minnesota LPN Alliance is comprised of LPNs represented by SEIU Healthcare Minnesota, AFSCME Council 65, AFSCME Council 105, and the United Food and Commercial Workers. We support the Nursing Licensure Compact for a number of reasons, but I'm just going to give you a few. First, with increased technology, nurses are doing more telemedicine, and the compact would allow nurses to follow patients crossing state lines. Second, the compact states states still maintain rights and authority to regulate nursing practice within their borders. Third, every nurse that practices in a compact state must comply with the patient laws in the state where the patient is located. From the LPN standpoint, they don't make a ton of money. There's less cost and burden on an LPN in obtaining another license, especially if that nurse only plans to be in a state for a very short period of time. Something like this would be for a natural disaster. Lastly, Mr. Chair, we do not see the compact as a threat to unions. We are unions representing nurses, and we do not believe this legislation impacts our ability to represent our members.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I wish I had more time to discuss this, but
okay.
Thank
I
you.
I just cut off a little bit.
That's all right. We have a group here. Who are you? Where are you from?
From Albert Lee.
Albert Lee. All right. Welcome to you. Are you going to stick around for a while? If you want to just come gather in, then we won't tell the fire marshal. Sit down, Representative Norton down. Oh, no, can't they be down? Whatever. Okay, they can. Anyway, welcome here. Just make yourselves comfortable and sit in aisles maybe or something so you don't block all the people. Yeah, that'd be good. because some people actually want to see what's going on. welcome to the committee, and I'm sorry there's not more time, but if you could do us, if you could say something we haven't heard yet.
Sure. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Marie Claire England, and I have been an RN in Minnesota for 25 years. I began my practice at Mayo Clinic many years ago, and I want to talk to you today about my practice at Park Nicollet. I've been a telephone triage nurse for 8 years, and I've talked to patients all over this country. However, I'd like you to know that I am a member of MNA, but although MNA opposes this bill, I support it. I have the experience to testify before you because I've talked to patients for 8 years over the phone and provided care. By law, each state sets the requirements for licensure as a registered nurse, and most states require a nurse to have a license to provide nursing advice to patients over the phone. Many nursing employers require RNs to hold a license in multiple states to perform telephone nursing across state lines. They call us to refill insulin, blood thinners, and to assess trauma, labor, and other symptoms of care. Patients request improved access to nursing care. Our patients seek our advice, and they want to talk to us, and they want to keep their health care business in Minnesota. We must provide nursing care within the law, and enacting the compact will help to provide better access for our patients, help employers retain the skilled nurses that they have, and it will help nurses to do so within the law. I really encourage you to enact the compact. Thank you for your time.
And welcome to the committee.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Prince, and I'm a registered nurse, and I'm here on behalf of Mayo Clinic and its affiliated hospitals, just offering our support for Minnesota joining the Nurse Licensure Compact. I will keep this brief, but I would ask that you would refer to the letters that are in your packet from other health systems from our bordering communities that are also in support of this. We do want to commit to the highest level of care and safety for our patients, and we do believe that the Nurse Licensure Compact will support that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I know we want to hear the other point of view, and then we're going to vote and move on to the other thing. So. You're next. Welcome to the committee. If you can do a minute on why you don't like it. And you're going to lose the vote today, so.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
That's positive. Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Welcome to the committee.
Shannon Cunningham, Minnesota Nurses Association. This bill is not only union busting, it's patient busting. You've heard all of this testimony today talking about telehealth and border reciprocity. If telehealth and border reciprocity are the issue, let's fix that. Instead of bringing in a compact that is going to lower the standards and lower the rights for the state of Minnesota to regulate nursing, let's talk about what the actual problem is. MNA opposes the compact. We have for a long time because we do feel like on the union aspect of things, it'll make it a lot easier to bring in strike breakers. But in addition to that, we're very concerned that it's going to lower the standard of care for Minnesotans. If a nurse in a different state comes into Minnesota, they know that state's Practice Act. They don't necessarily know Minnesota's Practice Act. Yes, it is their responsibility to know, but if we're working in a telehealth field, they would be responsible for knowing up to 50 different nurse practice acts. We think that that will put our patients in danger. We also think that it will eventually raise the cost for nurse licensure in Minnesota. When we lose the amount of money that we're getting from different states to come into Minnesota when they pay for licensure by endorsement, that money is going to go away because they will not have to pay a fee to be a part of this compact. We do not understand how that will not raise the licensure for nurses in Minnesota. I think that was a minute, so it's Carrie's turn.
Actually, it was really two, but I...
Sorry.
If you could just summarize
something. 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
we're just, you
Mr.
know,
Chair.
I'm just pressed for time on the other two big bills, so I'm trying to be polite, but I have no time today. So go ahead.
Members of the committee, Shannon covered a lot of it. However,
tell us your name, please. That won't count against your time.
Sorry, Carrie Mortrude with the Minnesota Nurses Association. The other couple points I want to make is that we really feel strongly that this is the state giving up their right to regulate nursing in Minnesota. We know other states that have attempted to join the compact but make a few tweaks. Let's take criminal background, for instance. That's a hot topic this year. We know other states have attempted to make changes saying that they are allowed to do criminal background checks on nurses coming in from other states, and that has actually made them ineligible for the compact. So we really strongly oppose this, but it's not because we're opposed to change. Nurses every day, every month, deal with changes in technology, patient care, practices, policies, etc. And so nurses are not opposed to change, especially us. However, this is not the solution for telehealth.
Thank you very much. Representative Murphy, do you want to have the one member comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We've heard this legislation. We heard it last year. I think we've heard it one other time since I've been elected. It's a piece of legislation I've encountered before I came to the legislature, and it's this ProPublica article that was distributed to us that continues to give me concern. I have concern about the nurses and their due process rights. You know, if they're placed in this nurses database and their case is not adjudicated, they can be, targeted by employers and not hired just because they've been accused. And I think that's wrong in America. But this also will give us a false sense of security. I was in Wyoming earlier this year talking with a group of nurses, and the nurses in Wyoming decided not to join the compact because nurses in their state go under criminal background checks. And the nurses coming from other states that don't do criminal background checks aren't subject to the Wyoming law. They don't want to be a part of that compact because they want their laws to prevail. I think this is a mistake for us. I think we could work with the Board of Nursing to try and figure it out, but I don't think we should let a national compact strip our ability as legislators to set the safety standards for patient care in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I renew my motion that House file. Okay, we have a massive rate setting bill to do and the Sunset Commission. Okay, Representative Huntley. Oh, can you have the last?
Well, I've included in your packet, okay. Mr. Chair, a newspaper article from the Star Tribune in late February, and it talks about telemedicine. And this is why Minnesota could be the winner. This is the VA hospital, and they are monitoring what's going on in intensive care units in six different states. In hospitals that are run by the VA. This article does not relate to the compact, but it does say that telemedicine is here to stay and state borders aren't going to stop it.
Thank you. So with that, I think that the students here, you've seen in a compressed amount of time, a really important problem being cited, a solution being brought forward that not everybody agrees with. This is going to be sent off to be worked on more. And so for the students, this is a fascinating topic if you want to investigate a problem and a solution and maybe another solution. So with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 462 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Everybody understand the motion? All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. It's referred. Thank you, Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do appreciate your indulgence in giving us a hearing.
I'm glad it worked out. Representative Kiffmeyer. Moves House File 2555 be recommended to pass and referred to the committee to the floor. Committee on Ways and Means, where they can discuss the compact at the same time. And it so Representative Kiffmeyer, this bill has had a ton of work. You've been to almost every committee we have. It's such a small bill for so many committees. Do you have an amendment that you want to offer?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer the 823 amendment, and I do have some oral amendments to the 823 as well.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves the 823 and make your oral amendments. State your oral amendments, please.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, on page, Mr. Chairman, on page 9. At the top of the page, line 7.1, substitute language that is more clear and distinct. And so we would strike checks on all applicants. And
page 7, you're on line 7.1.
Page 7,
okay.
Point 1, line 1. And the substitute language would read, check on each applicant for initial licensure or other credential prior to granting a credential to practice.
I think all of Ms. Aves repeat that.
And I did discuss this with Ms. Aves earlier, so she could help.
So that's why she's going to repeat it.
Mr. Chair, the instruction would be on page 7, line 1, delete each applicant and insert each applicant for initial licensure or other credential prior to granting a credential to practice. It should be all applicants.
Okay.
Okay.
So everybody understand that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this is only for new people coming in, not for renewals. That's the point of that, which is a very important point.
Yes, it is, Mr. Okay. Chairman. And that was the intention of all applicants, but it wasn't clear enough. And so this language just makes it more specific and more clear.
I appreciate that.
All right. And then, Mr. Chairman, on the same page, line 7.25, that's duplicate language. Earlier in the amendment, just happens to be a duplicate language, so we would strike from line subdivision 1, which would be 7.27 through 8.3. It's subdivision 1. That's just duplicate language, and Ms. Aves has that as well.
Okay, so delete subdivision 1. And on line 7.27 and following.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. And then, Mr. Chairman, on the bottom of page 9, subdivision 11, strike lines 9.35 through to the next page. Again, duplicate language. We're just technical cleanup here.
Through line 10.8.
10.6 to the period.
Oh, okay, so you're just through line 10.6, okay.
Yep, and the rest of the language, which would be the plan will include recommendations, that that sentence then would be appropriate to be in, moved to line 7.14 after the period, and again, Ms. Aves has this,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Is that clear? So you're retaining, of that section, all you're retaining is the fragment on line 10.6 and then the balance of 10.7, 10.8, and relocating that to a more suitable site. Okay.
So what it's doing is taking that the language between those two, combining them into one in one section, Mr. Chairman.
Everybody understand that? And Representative Kiffmeyer will incorporate that into her amendment. Do you want to describe your amendment now? And
Well, Mr. Chairman, I...
Oh, is there more?
On line 10.12, on this teeth agreement, Mr. Chairman of the Commissioner of Health, we will just strike the balance of the language after health on 10.13 and then delete the language on 10.14. That's unnecessary after discussion with the Commissioner.
So you're striking everything on line 10.13 after the word health and you're deleting line 10.14?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there, do you have another one?
No, I'm
not trying to rush.
That's all incorporated.
I just thought we were done. Sorry. Okay. So you'll incorporate those, and the amendment is now in the order you want to discuss it. Is that correct, Representative Kiffmeyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of this language, members, is technical language to clean things up after working with a lot of stakeholders and interested parties. This is just language at their request or language that will help to clarify. And also, like for the Commissioner of Administration, just language to help them have the clarity that they need in regards to that. I think it is really important, though, that for the small agencies in particular, the language in this amendment also includes language like a service level agreement. That's common language to make sure that the two parties have a clear understanding what the expenses are, what they're paying for. So, Mr. Chairman, other than that, this is, as I've gone through this before, also on the criminal background check, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is language that has had a lot of work, and we now have agreement on this language to be included in this bill.
Well, very good, and I have been part of that, and you've worked very hard. And I believe there is broad agreement on this language compared to many versions in the middle.
Yes.
So shall we adopt this amendment, the members? Are you comfortable with that? Representative Kiffmeyer, that's the renews her motion. We adopt the 823 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's adopted. Is that the only amendment you have from your part?
One more
Oral
amendment, Mr. Chairman,
please.
To the bill. On page 11, Representative Simon asked me to put in some numbers here. This has to do with the Medical Practice Act study. And so on line, it's section 27 in your bill in front of you. Line 19 has the Medical Practice Act study. And on line 11.20, substituting, and our, I believe Ms. Aves, our amendment already dealt with that. Yes, so I just want to clarify that instead of the Board of Medical Practice conducting that, convening that work group, that will be done by the Minnesota Department of Health with their agreement.
So you're amending out...
It's already been amended, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted, since I'm in that section, I want to call attention to...
Oh, thank you.
Because you're on that. But on line 11.26, we would add two members. On 11.27, two practicing physicians. On line 11.28, we would have two medical educators, one from the University of Minnesota and one from the Mayo Clinic. And on 11.32, we would have two consumers. On 11.33, we would have two experts in the field of medical practice. And that's a request of Representative Simon that I just forgot to put that into my 23 amendment, Mr. Chairman, but that's agreeable, I believe.
So so we're adding on lines 11.26, 27, 28, 32, and 33, the number 2, and then... must be some small technical words to conform. Mm-hmm. Is that? And then line 28, we're adding the word one in front of from and one in front of the word male.
Yes.
Okay, and you can, and so we have
I
to vote on that.
That.
Oh, we have to vote. This
or
is
have to vote on
the
that.
Base.
Okay.
Everybody understand that? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. That's adopted.
And Mr. Chairman, those are my amendments at this time.
Okay, why don't you summarize the bill? And is there anybody opposed to this in the audience? Mm-hmm. I know the boards had concern they're all here, and they're all going to say they like it, which is happy to hear that, and that's my observation from the hallways.
Yes.
No one wishes to speak in opposition to any part of this bill. Dr. Spicer, do you want to? So you can come down, and Representative Kiffmeyer will...
Mr. Chairman,
why don't you talk about the bill, and then we'll take testimony after you've outlined the bill. Maybe you can even see what you...
And Mr. Chairman and members, each stop of this committee when I have taken input and listened to members and all the boards and everybody, all the departments and all the entities along this way, I have worked my very best to include their recommendations or their suggestions and do all of that. If there is anything yet lingering that I may not know about at this time, Mr. Chairman, I'll certainly be glad to continue that effort.
And I expected as much. So Representative Kiffmeyer, describe just the... maybe the salient points of your bill about what it... We haven't really discussed your bill. Actually, we're here for the fiscal anyway.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to be sure that if there's anything...
Why don't you discuss the fiscal part of the bill here? I think this has been vetted thoroughly everywhere, and
yes.
Then if there's a controversy point, we can address it. But just talk about the money. That would be, I think, a good scope of our work for today.
Okay.
The fees and so on. That would be, I think, productive.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to let you know, Section 29 had to do with fee reductions, but because of the other language in the bill that also touches on fees, they're confusing, so that is out of this bill at this time. And all of the things in this bill are paid for in this bill in regards to the work that's being done. But with the permission of the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, she will take care of funding the work of the Sunset Commission because it doesn't belong in Health and Human Services bill. It has to be funded through Ways and Means, and so I have a commitment from the chair of Ways and Means that we would take care of it there. Otherwise, Mr. Chairman, the work of this bill is paid for through adjustments or attributing it to the special revenue fund.
And I think I saw something in there about the fees of the different boards that they can't accumulate more than 6 months and then they have to pay it back. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, what they have is they accumulate reserves up to 6 months and then they must make a recommendation to the legislature to reduce their fees in line with the needs of their operations.
And is that all that this bill touches on money?
That's right.
Okay. Dr. Spicer, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Dr. Larry Spicer. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and I will be very brief. I do see in Representative Kiffmeyer's A23 amendment that provision that you just mentioned. However, what I don't see is a deletion. I'm looking at the original bill, and in Section 18 on lines 821 through 24, I'm looking at the four.
That's the one they have.
Okay. All right. Lines 821 through 24 does And that may be what was just changed, because this line actually says that the board may accumulate up to 12 months of operating expenses. Where it comes into that may be...
Somebody got their phone vibrating?
I think that's me.
Sorry, what are the odds?
I do apologize. I think that may be in conflict with sections 25 and 29, and that's all I really have to say. It provides a little bit of confusion for me, because section 25 simply says that the board's... All right. She says it's deleted, and I didn't see that deletion.
I just did it
too. Excuse me. Okay. And what about 25? I have no further comment.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
So, but I think it's good you came up, and a lot of your colleagues are here today. This has been, I think, really good work in the net of it.
Yeah.
And I think that there's been a lot of thought and development gone into it, and I think it's appropriate that you were all here scrutinizing the amendment and making sure, and it's been a moving target for a while, so thank you for that.
And Mr. Chairman, just to clarify that I didn't know of Mr. Spicer's specific interest before, and so I will meet with him to go over all of these things and make sure that he feels comfortable with what we have done here.
And I think when it's engrossed, it'll be clear what you intended, and there may be some more amendment for Ways and Means, and I serve there as well, so we can clean it up as well.
All right.
And is that the bill? There are two boards that have brought forward licensing bills, each of which had background studies in, and I asked Representative Kiffmeyer if it would be appropriate, and she's semi-comfortable with this, and it may be a problem later when it gets to the Senate. But both the alcohol drug counselors and the Board of Dentistry have brought forward different background studies, and trying to keep this together, and the sunset work really focused on licensing boards this time. Putting these sort of amendments on next time would be inappropriate, but this time it makes sense because they were actually doing the same work in a different way, and you want to make sure that the dental board and the alcohol, and the BVHT board have the same background study, and so they could in fact become law separate of this bill. And so with that, I'd like to make two amendments. I'd like to move the A15, which is the Board of Dentistry bill that was heard elsewhere in reform and is without controversy, to this bill. Any questions about that?
I'll support your motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Representative Kiffmeyer. All in favor of that, say aye.
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 Opposed? It's adopted. And the alcohol drug counselor has the same situation. That's all worked out. In fact, it was blinked out here yesterday. Is that right? But anyway, that's on the general register as well.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Slawick.
I have a question about that one.
Yes.
You know, I know what it's like to be in the majority, and you need to get your bills through, and you're trying to make this happen, but, you know, we do have other people that want licensing bills or other groups, and there's other things happening here. Is there ever going to be a process for licensing bills, or I guess you can tell me next year there is, but
well,
it's
actually
frustrating.
Yeah, well, that's a question for Rips and Gottwald more on the reform side. These are the bills that are here come from existing boards, and that's their housekeeping, recodifying normal work, as opposed to a new licensure bill. I think it'd be inappropriate to put a new licensure item on here. And it's only appropriate to put these two on, as opposed to the social work bill,
right,
which did not have a background study, which is traveling on its own, or actually in the lab bill of all places. But it's a fair question, and Representative Gottwald, do you want to just answer the question and to your best ability about other... I know there's a number of proposals to license other groups. Do you have a comment about that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Slawick, appreciate the question. We have... we've been pretty consistent in saying to groups that want new licensure, unless they have a compelling reason for patient safety or you know, other more serious reason, that those things were not going to be considered this session, that we wanted to focus on priority reform initiatives. And so we have been consistent in not bringing forward new licensing bills through the committee, and have had conversations with numerous organizations on that. I think they understand why we're doing that. And I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Is that all right?
Just say, and I understand that. I just hope I have one for the music therapist, and it's just that the idea of someone going in and not being licensed, and if we're an autistic child or in a nursing home and misrepresenting themselves potentially because they don't have a license, it's a big deal. So I hope that next year, you know, maybe someone else will be running the place, but that would be one way to do it. Another way to do it would be, I hope you will have a subcommittee on licensing, and that you'll be able to, we could run those through there.
It's a fair recommendation. As a person trying to license massage therapist for about 6 years, I'm doing just as well as you are. So, anyway, any other questions to this amendment? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And there's one other item. Senator Erickson Ropes and I worked on some projects, and then she was defeated in the last election. So a lot of my interim work at the end of last session, not the whatever, 2 years ago at the end of that session, just before the elections, we had quite a bit of work with reform of how the boards do complaints and so on, and achieved quite a bit of consensus, including sex offenders. That seems to be too heavy of a topic to put in this bill, so that's not going to be in this amendment. And so Ms. Aves has an amendment to, which one are we doing, the 16 or 18?
Mr. Chair, we'd be working on the A-16 amendment.
I'll move the A-16 amendment. And I have an oral amendment that she's going to say.
Mr. Chair and members, to that amendment, page 6, delete section 4. Page 8, delete section 7. And page 9, delete section 9.
Okay, thank you. And just so you know, the conclusion of that was the most thoughtful discussion about sex offenders in that conference committee. And the Board of Medical Practice has a one-strike-you're-out version. There was a matter about chiropractors, which came up, which has become the model for the rest of the boards to abide by. And with the exception of one board, they all agree that was a good model, and we'll have to take it up a different time. But it has a 10-year bar, and it's appropriate, and it's strict, and if you're a bad actor, you're not going to be working in those professions. But the discussion that was extremely thoughtful, and we'll take it up a different day. This, just for the sake of the executive directors, the study group is taken out, as is the request about record keeping, and how you would treat that. I think there's a mention of it. And if there's anything controversial with the boards on this, it was my intention to work from the consensus. And as Representative Kiffmeyer said, it's my intention to make this without controversy to all the executive directors. So I'm not going to take testimony now, but as this moves along, we'll work on that. So I'll incorporate my oral amendment. Any questions about that? Representative Kiffmeyer, you?
I support your oral amendment.
Thank you. So seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Last words, Representative Kiffmeyer, to your bill. I really think you've done a good job of this. I mean, I know how hard this is. I spent a great deal of time with licensing boards in my 14 years here, and to thread the needle and deal with the safety issues that they need to look after the clients they serve and the providers and all the interests that are there. Welcome to a small club in the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the matters that are within this particular Sunset Commission bill, as the chairman said, this is a Sunset Commission advisory recommendations. With these amendments, we've added on something extra. And my understanding is that only if all of the interested parties are agreeable and amenable to this will they continue, so that just like with Mr. Spicer and with Representative Abler, that as we move forward, that we understand that some of these things are technical, that can fit in very well. Some of those things that may be an issue as we go forward, but because they're all here together, we can see them all together. We can see how they fit together. If you don't work them in that way, then they're separated, and you don't have that ability to make sure they don't conflict with one another. So by putting them together, we're able to keep those things that do fit, and if there's something that does not, but it's by putting them together in that next engrossment. I thought it was very interesting here, Mr. Chairman, that when you take a look at the material that came forward on the Nurse Compact, the things that are in this Sunset Advisory Commission bill that are in this are also talking about criminal background checks, but it's also expanding beyond the state of Minnesota, that we were already working on this to include issues that come from another state that we are not currently doing. And this applies to all of these health boards. So this is going to be very, very helpful as we move forward with the Nurse Compact, in the sense that the language that is in here will be very, very helpful and coordinate well with that. And so I just thought I'd mention that I was thinking of how helpful it is on what we are doing here. And with that, Mr. Chairman, knowing you have a full agenda, I just ask for your vote and your support for House File 2555. And I make the motion to refer to Ways and Means, Mr. Chairman.
That's right, as amended.
As amended.
And just to point out to the students, actually we do solve hard problems here in bipartisan ways and get things done. So this is another example of that. So all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The bill is re-referred.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, my God. Welcome, Representative Abler.
The world is finally right, Mr. Chair.
It is indeed.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House File 2456 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register. Mr. Chair and members, this bill has been extremely controversial in terms of the rate setting. And for the benefit of the students who are still here, as the chairman, I put two totally non-compatible versions of the same topic into a bill and sent it on its way to find honorable compromise. And that actually compromise and agreement has been reached with the extremely gracious work of the department and the very diligent work of a large provider community who was scared to death. And so to put the bill in order to what it now is agreed to, I think I'll make a few motions for amendments and then let the department describe the bill from their view, and then I'll let Mr. Goodnow describe his view. And I believe there's still some work yet to be done, which I expect when it gets all engrossed, and this is going to go to the floor, and it will also be carried in another bill. And at least I just predict there'll be a few changes when it gets to the floor, but I think we're almost there, and I couldn't be happier.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll move the A8 amendment. Is that the right one, Mr. Pinelli? A8. 7-8. So I'll move the A8 amendment, and we'll explain that after they're adopted. So we can just adopt that, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Just members, to let you know that the A5 amendment will not be offered. It is being replaced by the A1 amendment. A7, excuse me.
Is there an oral amendment to
just for the housekeeping, just to let you know.
I have an oral amendment to the A8, so Ms. Pinelli would tell you what my oral amendment is.
Ms. Pinelli.
Mr. Chair, members, it's just in addition to the A8 amendment, page 1 of the bill, delete lines 17, 18, and 19. That's just a technical thing since we're getting rid of Article 2 later on in the A8 amendment.
Okay, thanks. And I'll incorporate that, Mr. Chair, and so if we can vote on that, that would be good.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A7.
Motion prevails.
Right one, Ms. Pinelli? A7. So I'd like to move the A7, and it will describe the whole matter as an entirety.
You may proceed.
So we have to vote on that, Mr. Chair.
Yes. All in favor? You don't want to describe the A7 before we vote on it?
Describe it all together. This is, we sent the bill off just in a very curious way, so they can do it all at once, and if you don't like it, you can not.
Members, all in favor of adopting the A7 amendments, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you for your
motion
trust
carries.
In that. I'll turn it over to my testifier. And just, members, I wouldn't customarily have you vote blind on amendments, but these have all been worked so thoroughly. They're integral to the bill and the final agreement that's here. So maybe if Ms. Bartoli could comment and then Mr. Goodnow, and then we can go from there.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Bartoli, you may proceed.
And members,
proceed.
My name is Alex Bartolik, and I'm with the Department of Human Services, and I am pleased to be here today with a bill that we have worked an agreement on and think that is going to help us move forward in the future. For some context, in 2009, the legislature funded changes in order to implement rate setting structure and provider standards for our disability waiver services. This was done in order to come into compliance with a corrective action plan that Minnesota was operating under with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and they had indicated they would discontinue federal funding of our waiver programs if we did not make changes in these areas. We worked extensively with stakeholders since 2009, and now have this bill, which has been amended. The bill consists of two parts. The first part is uniform provider standards for some services that were previously unlicensed.
CMS was concerned that we were allowing counties through county contracts to determine the standards, and that they varied across the state, and we were not consistent in our monitoring. It also, in the second section, has a methodology to develop a rate system that's transparent, fair, budget neutral, and consistent around the state. And this responds to the second part of the corrective action plan with CMS, where they said that we did not have documentation for rates, and there was not a rationale as to why certain rates varied across the state for similar people. The bill was first heard in the Health and Human Services Reform Committee, where testimony raised questions about the provider standards from the mental health community. And there was also a strong reaction to the rate-setting portion, and a coalition of providers offered an alternative bill to the rate-setting language. And since that hearing, several things have happened. First, we have worked with the mental health community to add language that would address their concerns to the provider standards. And that language was added in the Data Practices Subcommittee. The second part of the bill relates to the payment methodologies, and upon your direction, Representative Abler, we worked with the coalition who had put together the alternative rate setting system to come to an agreement that would allow us all to move forward. We've met with the group. We do have an agreement, and that is reflected in A8 amendment. And briefly, what this amendment does is it assures that the new payment methodologies will not be effective until January 1st of 2014. For 3 years after that, rates will not vary from current rates by more than 1% a year. The department is directed to conduct research on what this new methodology will look like and report back with to a specific list of research questions that we mutually agreed upon in order to inform how the new system will work into the future. The department is also required next session to bring back a detailed legislation for the 2013 legislature to allow implementation of the system in January of 2014. So I don't know if you wanted to go into a lot of great detail. Otherwise, Kevin Glidnow is here to also provide comments.
And just to put a plug into the department, they have, I don't know how many hours the department has spent. She's still tired thinking about it. But they have just really invested themselves well. And for all the, we are sometimes have a few comments to offer that are not always positive toward the department. This is an example where they've shown and did everything they were supposed to do and just were exemplary. So I just wanted to compliment Ms. Bartolik and Mr. Coleman and all their staff. So with that.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Bartolik. Mr. Goodnow?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Goodnow. I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota Habilitation Coalition and also in a way representing the folks that were part of the negotiating team that worked with the department to come up with this language. We are supportive of the language as it's been presented and fully supported at this point. It addresses our major concerns as we're going forward, and we're sensitive to the need of the agency to respond to CMS's concerns about a statewide uniform system. And so we really appreciate the efforts of the Department of Human Services, the Chairman Abler's work on pushing us forward and pushing us towards a compromise. And really do strongly support this bill as amended.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Goodnow, for your comments. Members, I believe we have a question from Representative Gottwald.
Actually, Mr. Chair, it's a brief comment, and I just want to, you know, when this cell was in the Reform Committee, I was extremely skeptical. The way that it came out was highly unusual, but I've learned to have a renewed respect for Representative Abler's ability to kind of work these things through, and I'm very impressed with what we're doing, especially in the area of home and community-based services. I think it was critical that we got that fixed and ready to go because those services are going to become more and more important for the state as we go forward. So I want to thank everybody who was involved in this and thank Representative Abler for bringing this forward. It's a good solution.
Representative Abler?
Fire as well. And Representative Hosh was also involved, just to give him credit. He's not here today. Mr. Nelson wants to offer a quick speech. Sorry, I can't see behind me.
Any seat, Mr. Nelson, correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Bruce Nelson with ARM. And very briefly, I want to thank Representative Abler for his leadership on this. And that leadership entailed a lot of pushing and prodding to everybody involved. And we're very grateful for that. And also wanted to acknowledge our appreciation for Commissioner Coleman, Division Director Alex Bartolik, and their team for not only coming up with something that we can all live with, but it's something that I think puts in motion a process with clearly defined parameters that in the end will be in the best interests of people with disabilities across the state, and that, after all, is our goal. So with that, thank you to all involved.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
And I just talking to the, chatting on the side while Ms. Bartolik was presenting, and I wasn't meant to be impolite, but as I talked about changes that may come, I think I expect no changes in the rate setting part. I believe that's settled. There's two parts of the bill, not just the two parts we sent off that we're dueling, but there's two elements to the main bill that are going forward. One is this rate setting method, which makes it statewide. The state will be contracting for these individuals and establishing contracts. Because of that, we have to establish contacts of people who have never had state contracts or been licensed or credentialed. And so a new section of law is created called 245D. The DTNHs and other people are licensed under 245B, which is a much more intense or at least substantive licensing process. 245D was established to make a lower level credential. And so even at that, there were some fees and some other matters to be decided. And this language has barely been public. And so there may be work on this in the meantime. And Ms. Pinelli, was there not some language about a future study for PCA, the decade? That's not part of this yet, right? Okay, that'll be for the floor. And so there's like several groups. You have the highly regulated groups now that are the DTNHs and corporate foster cares and all those places. And then you have some people who do day training and some people who do in-home services. Then you have a bunch of the home care providers. And most of the offenses that come up actually are in some of the PCA elements, and they're not scrutinized quite as well. And so there is going to be some future work on that, and we've had work in the past, and so you can just anticipate that. That's not in the bill. There'll be nothing in the bill describing any of that, except that it'll come back with a plan which will require legislative activity for that. So, Mr. Chair, sorry, that's the bill, and if there's any questions or if anybody else wants to testify, we're ready to do that.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Baylor. Is there any questions from members? Representative Slawek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Baylor, I'm having a little trouble tracking all this because this is going really fast. So you have a brand new section of law, right, or 245D with all these new license with all kinds of new requirements. That's a lot to throw at us in right before the third deadline. Who is this really aimed at? Is it high-functioning people with autism?
Well, let me help you about the process.
Representative Abler.
This part of the bill was heard and reformed and was, you know, was thoroughly questioned as well as people wanted to ask about it. The controversial part of the bill was not this part, but the rate-setting part. The part I put on from the ARM community was the rate-setting component, not the licensure part. The licensure part went to civil law, and data practices, I think, and it's back here now. So this part is not being thrown at you before deadline.
Okay.
The softening of that, the improving of that, the less harmful to the world part is being thrown at you before the third deadline, which I'm glad we could obtain that softening of it. And so maybe Ms. Bartolo can talk about the whole need for it, which I still question part of that, but I've tried to soften it to the best of my ability to make it as credible and as valid as possible. So Ms. Bartolik could comment further.
Sure, Ms. Bartolik.
Mr. Chair and Representative, this was part of what CMS wanted us to change, is we had providers who were not licensed, and counties, when they entered into contracts, were required to make sure that they were qualified and to monitor. And we were finding that there were different standards being put on contracts, so it was inconsistent around the state, and also that at the state, we weren't able to report back to CMS all the actions that occurred. So as part of our corrective action, as one of the conditions we had to do to maintain federal funding for our waivers, they required us to come up with a way of eliminating county contracts and having standards managed statewide. And so the solution we came up with was establishing a license that would not be as rigorous as a phase one. Next year, we would like to come back with a broader, more comprehensive view at standards and quality that addresses all of the services.
Representative Sloan?
That helps me to understand it better. For some of us who sit only on finance and not reform, we get half a picture all the time of what's happening. But as a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
For the controversial part, then, the rate setting, is how much agreement is there on that? I mean, you were saying there's a lot of agreement, but are people pretty much in step? Is there peace in the valley? Is it?
Mr. Goodenough.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Slawik, we actually had the department, after we had reached an agreement among the smaller group that was negotiating this, we had a meeting yesterday with the provider group that encompassed a much wider breadth of folks, and we didn't have any opposition that I was aware of, and I don't know what other conversations took place, but I would say peace in the valley and everybody's satisfied with the product as it's moving forward. The challenge here, and there's a tension that we understand the status quo isn't acceptable and we can't stay where we're at, so people who don't want things to change, that's not an option because of the pressure coming from CMS. So as far as a process, and this is a first step in a process that will go on for a number of years, but the process and the structure that we put into place here is appropriate, and I think it has general agreement among the provider community and the advocacy community as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goodenough. Representative Abler?
Well, and just to go back to the controversy part in the beginning, was it a 5% thing? In the beginning, you know, we've had some rate cuts to the continuing care side, and you know, and the challenges of all that, and so the original version had that the entire industry would have similar prices, and some have higher. It's just, and they're not homogenous, and that was, and some places would have gone out of business. They were afraid, and so anytime you, and some would have lost up to 5% or more. Some thought 40%. Of their money to do their work, and the initial runs were just initial, and you know, but so a lot of huge fear about this. So the way this bill is now, it's the most they can gain or lose is 1% for 3 years, and so that seems like a manageable number. And I would think that Mr. Goodenough would say that most of the people interviewed would like just leave it the way it is. We're fine, but CMS requires a more universal rate setting process. That's statewide and defensible, because our system really wasn't defensible. And so if you have to change, we'll then do it very carefully. And again, I commend all the groups for high. The pressure was on to get this done in time. Otherwise, they could do it by rulemaking, which was the implied threat. And the department didn't want to rulemake, because that would have been, that wasn't their way on this. And so it's not always that you get such a good agreement. And so I hope that helps the members understand.
Thank you, Representative Abler. And for those who are in the room who know and those who don't know, Minnesota is one of the leading healthcare states in the nation. We have some of the best healthcare. And as evident by this particular bill that Representative Abler and Ms. Bartolik and several others have worked very hard on, continuing Minnesota being the leader in healthcare. So I commend you, Representative Abler, Ms. Bartolik, and the rest on your good work.
Mr. Chair, you might just want to ask if anybody in the audience wants to testify against it.
I really was hoping I didn't have to ask that, Representative Abler, but in the event, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify against this bill?
Mr. Chair, that would have been a long list on the first version of this, so I think that's another example of where this has come.
Representative Abler, another example of your fine work and the department's as well. We do have Ms. Pennelly to just explain briefly the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, I just wanted to clarify the oral amendment. It was deleting page 1, lines 17 to 19 of the bill, not the amendment.
Oh, then we have to vote on that. And so I'm sorry, I misunderstood myself. That's just a header. So, Mr. Chair, I'll move on page 1 of the bill to delete lines 17 to 19.
Very good. Members, you've heard the oral amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll renew my motion, Mr. Chair, that House Bill 2456 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register.
Very good. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Move the motion. Oh, I need someone to move the minutes. Representative Lanning, would you approve the minutes and move those?
I sure will.
Thank you. All in favor of approving and moving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Representative Abler.
And thanks, members, for your help on this, and thanks for the faith the committee put in me to send this off in the most bizarre form we've ever sent anything off in. So, the final bill, members, is pretty much the whole Department of Human Services work for this session. I don't know how it's going to wind up, and so the reason I'm at the chair is we're just going to do some technical amendments to some bills, but then assemble probably the omnibus of this session. And I'll need some help from my staff about how to do this. The base bill is House Bill 1967, so I'll move that to get in front of us to be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register. You'll need a truck to get it there by the time that happens. And so who's helping me on this? We're going to, I think, assemble three more bills onto this just to make sure that we can get all our work done. And I'm not sure how the Senate's going to track this. Later on, some of these bills might come off if they get taken care of or if they're safe. But it's my intention, compared to last session where some things didn't get done, we're just going to make sure that everything gets done. Yeah. It's my conviction we should work till we're done and then go home. So what's my first? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm moving Senate file.
We had a copy of that whole thing?
Oh, my. I'll actually withdraw my motion and move that Senate file 1675 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register. So now, staff want to help me out here. Oh. Okay. Now I'm going to move to substitute the language in House File 1967 into Senate File 1675. So we're just keeping the House language on a new vehicle. And so, members, what we're doing is changing cars, but we're taking all our luggage. Everybody understand that? All in favor say aye. Aye. No. Opposed? That's adopted.
Overwhelming.
What's it, Mr. Chun, or who's helping me with this these days? Mr. Chun? I'm going to move the A8 amendment, which is the Gottwald bill. This is House Bill 1994. DHS continuing care bill that was heard in reform and it's on the General Register, I believe. Not knowing how that will go, we're just going to make sure this is part of this little barge. Okay. And is there any amendment? Representative Slavik, you want to amend this?
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment to the A8 amendment, page 67.
Please.
Line 31. After and, insert estimated. Now, this was brought to me by Hennepin County, so I don't know if they want to talk about it, but it just allows them, when they're trying to do the calculations of a person's monthly needs and expenditures, that it varies. So just by having the word in estimated there, right. It's more workable for them. And
sounds reasonable. And I can incorporate that. So I'll incorporate that. So Representative Slavik moves on line 67.31 to insert the word estimated in front of monthly, and I'll incorporate that.
Okay, thank you.
What's next? Is that enough for this? So we can adopt the amendment now. Okay, all in favor of the A8, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Some Gottwald's got a bill in the bill. Okay. What's next? The A2, I'll move the A2 amendment, which bill is that? This is the Officer Inspector General bill.
Yep, Mr. Chair, this is House File 2009, Office of Inspector General and DHS licensing bill.
And have we taken out a couple sections of the set-asides? We've taken out two?
Mr. Chair, we have taken out the language on the set-asides and anything else that was controversial.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions about that? Actually, controversial to some. So this is the bill that went through reform and civil law, only it's a little smaller. And it passed all those committees without objection. Everybody understand the A2? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's adopted. Ms. Aves, is there, we have to do some work on child welfare bill and take out the tribes and stuff, right?
Mr. Chair and members, the A3 amendment is a technical amendment.
Okay.
It includes some provisions from the child, it removes some sections from the child welfare bill, and it makes some changes to the language in the Safe Place for Children article of the bill.
Okay. So is that clear to members? The A3 Representative Gottwald, you have a quizzical look on your face.
Mr. Chair, just to check down, I know there was some concern among the EMS community, and I assume you have peace in the valley and all this, right?
This is their language. This,
very
this,
good.
And I think Mr. Doyle would suggest this is what he likes. It also takes out the tribal piece. Is that right, Ms. Aves? We were taking that out, too. Is that part of this amendment?
Mr. Chair, no, it is not.
Okay, I need an amendment to take that out. Okay, so this is... what's on page 92? So we're working out the 1967, right? Oh, parentage stuff. Okay. Okay, so I think that's fine. Any questions about the A3 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. That's adopted.
The A4
has costs. So we can't do it. I'm sorry. And is A5, A7, is that somebody? We talked about this.
Is this the Representative Clark?
Yeah, are we familiar with this? I know she brought it up. Is it controversial? Yeah, so I'm going to, if anybody knows about the A7, they can testify to it. We have time for the testimony about that. We have an oral. Okay. Okay, there's another oral amendment. We're going to delete Article 4, Section 1. And do you know what page that is? I'm almost there. Article 4, Section 1 is in child protection. It's the duty to ensure placement.
Mr. Chair, it begins on page 84.
Okay, page 84, and they want it out. So we're trying to work with them. This is their bill anyway, I think, isn't it? So if they want it out, we can take it out. Is that right? Is the department nodding? I see a lot of head nodding. Okay. This is our peace in the valley with the department amendment. Everybody who wants to be nice to the department, say aye to my oral amendment.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? A lot of friends. Okay. Mr. Kerber, do you want to testify to the A7 amendment that I'll move temporarily at least?
Okay, Mr. Chair, members, my name is Jerry Kerber from the Department of Human Services, and the A7 amendment is related to an issue that came up with Representative Clark recently, where it was sort of discovered that there are a variety of after-school programs for school-age kids that are operated around the state, many in the metro area, that technically are required to be licensed, but they've been operating one of them for 41 years without a license. What it seemed like a reasonable thing to do is to give them a temporary moratorium here from licensing, and it's narrowly getting at that group of providers. Many of them have contracts with school districts to provide these services. Some do, some don't, but they tend to be affiliated with not-for-profit agencies, the bigger ones. So this is giving a temporary moratorium so we can kind of figure out what to do with them over the interim.
And the department, this is department language?
This is, Mr. Chair, this is language that we came up with. That
and you're
satisfied
comfortable
the need.
With that.
Yes.
Okay, Representative Gottwald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had not seen this proposal before, and obviously it hasn't come through another committee, but I just wanted to make... Mr. Chair, Mr. Kerber, so this is only focused on a narrow group,
Chair,
it's meant to be helpful. It's not going to apply to anybody else. I'm not going to get a call from somebody saying, what did you just do to me?
Mr. Chair, and Representative Gottwald, no, it's really, there's some repetition of school ages in there. You'll notice a number of times, and and there was a fair amount of discussion about how we could word this so it is so narrow. However, on the other hand, if somebody wants to be licensed, as you can see in the last sentence, they can continue to be licensed. There are benefits of being licensed, and if anybody wants to hear about those, I can talk about them forever. But programs that are currently licensed continue to be licensed, and programs that want to be licensed can get licensed. It's just those that have been operating without a license can, the narrowly defined group serving only school-age kids in these after-school programs.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, if I could ask one more question. So it says nothing in this section prohibits an already licensed school-age only program from continuing its license. Would a program that's already licensed be able to drop its license under this too?
Mr. Kerber.
Mr. Chair and Representative Gottwald, they could. And we've had other provisions like this before for school-age programs operated by schools, by private schools. And so generally once people are licensed, they don't choose not to be licensed, and so I mean that could happen, but we're not anticipating there's going to be much of it.
Representative Slawa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to be clear, this came from an issue that was happening in Representative Karen Clark's district, and so she had talked to me about it when I chaired the Early Childhood Finance Committee. We had purview over after-school programs for whatever reason, and as Mr. Kerber knows, there's often licensing regulations that don't quite fit how things have come about. I think that the reason for the 2014 is that they would try to come up with whether they're going to make it a permanent moratorium or whether they're going to have to be licensed at that point, you know, and give them some time to talk about that. But I think that either a constituent or somebody came to her and one of these programs was going to have to potentially close, and it served inner city kids and had been around a long time, and so this allows them to stay open. I think the words we don't like to hear, Representative Gottwald, is after we adjourn and we hear someone talk about something, we say, we did that? You know, those are the three little words that, you know, with the hundreds and thousands of things we vote on here, we don't always know. I don't think this one will come back. If it does, we need to get on top of it. But it is directly related to a real-life situation in Representative Clark's district.
And Mr. Kerber, it only goes till July of 2014. Is that enough for them to solve their problem?
Mr. Chair, we think so. And, in fact, we hope to be back next year with some other language.
Just buys them time. Okay. Representative Lanning. We've got a 300-page bill we're spending. It's amazing the interest this amendment has drawn. Representative Lanning, that's fine. We have a little time, so go ahead.
Well, it's thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's amazing how through all the stack of paper that all of a sudden there something pops out that raises a concern. In my community, a couple of years ago, we lost an after-school program that had been operating for a few years. Because they were told they had to go through the licensing. And they found that to be such a hassle that they abandoned the program. Yeah. A very good after-school program conducted by a church. And I guess, you know, it seems to me this is an issue that ought to be studied more here. And I guess I would wonder, in the case of my constituents, could that program be restarted and have this apply, but then they would, if we don't fix it permanently, they could have to shut it down again in 2014. Is that correct?
Mr. Kerber.
Mr. Chair and Representative Lanning, you know, I guess, you know, technically that's correct. I think in the process, if they are somebody who would like to operate under that, under this exclusion temporarily, we'd like to hear from them about their experience and kind of describing what the program is. If there's going to be another exclusion added to the licensing statute, we always have to be really clear on how we're defining that service that's going to be excluded from licensure. And generally, in those discussions, we like to see that there's some other agency that has some oversight responsibility, or at least there's another agency to whom a parent who's dissatisfied with service can make a complaint. And there can be some kind of independent third-party review of that. And so that can take many different forms, of course. But so if there is a program like that, Representative Lanning, I think we'd want to hear from them so they can be participating in this discussion.
Representative Lanning, I see an opportunity for a floor amendment about requiring the department to report back on how to handle these situations. I think your group should absolutely open And I'm just surprised that this little topic is amazing to me. So I think we should adopt the amendment, and I think that between you and Representative Slawick and Clark, we should ask them to come back. And it sounds like they're willing to work on it. So just tell them to report back how to handle these situations, and they'll come up with a system that will make sure your people can be more permanent and that won't be forgotten. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just say that this was an issue that the Commission to End Poverty by 2020 addressed along the way, that we need more of these kinds of programs. Yeah. But if we have such complicated and difficult procedures that people have to go through to operate them, we're not solving the problem. So thank you.
I think that, who would have thought this would be such a good topic? I'm very happy about it. And Mr. Kerber, you wouldn't mind coming back with a plan of something?
No, Mr. Chair, we didn't put a reporting requirement in here to make sure there was no fiscal note, but
how about if you just come back with a few thoughts? Are those free?
Mr.
Okay.
Kirby,
so maybe if you can help draft some language that will not cost us any money. So, okay, so without further discussion, all those in favor of the A7, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. And Ms. Aves, you have an oral amendment for me.
Mr. Chair, you'd asked to delete the section about the transfer of Indian child adoptive proceedings.
Yes.
It would be on page 12 of the bill, delete section 15.
And I'll make that motion to, on page 12, delete section 15. I talked to Representative Allen about this. I think it's the right thing to do. It's the wrong time to do it. Apparently, it's become quite controversial. I got an email from Connecticut. I don't know how they know that we're working on this. But anyway, so that didn't change my interest in carrying on the House position, but it's problematic. So I urge members to vote for that amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Adopted. Anything? Oh, and I need to also move to one more amendment to add House File 2456 as amended onto here as well. There's something else? Do you want to come up? Sit at the table. You're not on TV. Sorry. So everybody understand the motion. We're going to amend that whole rate setting thing onto here, too. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. This wasn't big enough. Ms. Martineau, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair.
You could be our last witness. Do you realize that for the year?
Ann Martineau, Department of Human Services. There was an error made in that oral amendment to delete section, Article 4, Section 1. It should be Article 4, Section 8.
Okay. So I'll move to reinstate Section 1 and delete Section 8 of Article 4. And that has to do with more parentage stuff. Oh, didn't we? We took part of that anyway, didn't we? Okay. So are you clear about that, staff? We're going to delete Section 8 of Article 4, which is on page 92.15 to goes to 93.11. Does that sound right? And we're going to reinstate all that business about placement and prevention online. We're reinstating Section 1. Okay. Everybody understand that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Has anybody got any more amendments we should offer to this bill? Anything else you want to stick on here?
Mr. Chair, I move that we not accept any more. No, I'm
okay. And I'll instruct staff as we make this motion that they're allowed to make technical and sensible corrections to what they know we meant. I have an announcement at the end of this vote. So all in favor of, I'll renew my motion that Senate file 1675 be recommended to pass, be referred to the general register in a large truck, as amended in a large truck. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. Now, I just want to, Mr. Lear, by the way, business-wise, we'll come around to each member to sign the minutes of our last meeting. This is our last official meeting for the biennium. It has been an honor. We may meet in the summer if we are interested to talk about the outcome of the Supreme Court case. That might be interesting to get together. We have money available if we want to do that, if there's interest. And so that could be really interesting. I see the ramifications to, you know, the Matt Dean bill, what if? Well, the way they're talking, they could change Medicaid and turn it on its head, which would be beyond what people thought they'd get out of this deal. So we may have more work and more flexibility than we ever thought, or less work and no flexibility. So that should be interesting. Only half of our research staff is here. They've been stellar. Only a third of the regulars are here. Most of the department is here. They've been great to work with. It's been a pleasure. I think we've done well as a committee and complement each other. You know, we've I think we have been almost, next to agriculture, probably the most functional committee and the most functional department in the legislature. So look around and commend each other for that. Anything else? So we're adjourned. Representative Hosh.
Mr. Chair, on behalf of the DFL side of the committee room table, I want to thank you for operating the committee, I think, in an inclusive way on many issues. You've engaged our members, invited them into your office, have made a very difficult committee with very difficult issues work relatively well together. So I wanted to thank you for your leadership on that part.
Mr. Chair, I would be remiss if we didn't recognize there's at least two of our members here who are not going to be with us next time, and I want to thank both of them. I know I thanked Representative Hosh before, but I was remiss in not thanking Representative Slawick for her leadership on child care issues, childhood issues, and want to thank both of you for your work in this committee over the years that I've been here.
Thank you.
And I think it's, oh yeah, good job. I think it's kind of cool that in the omnibus that's going to be voted on today that some of their marquee topics were brought forward in the process. We're able to include those, each with money and policy, and they can go home and be proud of that. Hopefully those can become law. So, hate to leave, but sorry, we're done. We're adjourned, sunny die.